Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, baby.
Hello, my love. Hey, is my nose that red?
Well, looking at the monitor,
it looks like I have a really bad cold.
It does look like you do look a little Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, a bit. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the lighting in here. Yeah. But in real life, you don't look that bad.
Great.
Yeah.
No red nose.
Nope. And hey, folks, if you want to see how red Bridie's nose may or may not look, you can go to patreon.com/termion and support the podcast. And in return, you will be able to watch all of our foreplay segments or
my mismatched socks and shirt.
Yeah. Or you could watch orange. This entire episode because we are going to be banging out a host episode here over at Sick Boy headquarters. Hey, do you notice anything different about me?
I do. A handful of things.
Yeah, what's that?
You got lighter down below and heavier up on top.
Wait, what?
You lost some width down below around your chin.
Oh, my mustache. Oh, I'm sporting a mustache right
and
now.
You
I
lost
forgot
your
about
beard.
That. I lost my beard.
You lost your beard.
Yeah.
Your mustache now is more prominent.
No, but also, that's not what I'm talking about.
I know. You have glasses.
I have glasses now.
That's the up top part.
Oh.
We're just missing each other today.
You're really annoyed with me.
I'm annoyed because it's annoying when there's a misunderstanding and the other person is so sure that they're being completely clear that they're addressing the misunderstanding in the right way.
Okay.
But really, it's such a minute little detail that made the misunderstanding.
Sure.
It's like if you don't know where the turning point was in the conversation where you began to misunderstand each other, it's a bad thing to try to find your way back to that one little feather that dropped.
Well, I'm not annoyed, I feel good, and I am wearing glasses now, and boy, oh boy.
How's the world look?
Clearer, but these are fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Glasses are, I think they look really nice on me.
They do.
I do look smarter, which I could have used that my entire fucking life, but fuck, they're annoying, man.
In what way? Why are they... Why are they annoying?
You know, I go to make out with Leah.
Oh, making out's a bad thing. I forgot.
And she's got glasses. And so we're like, clock, clack, clock, clack. We're like clicking, clacking off each other's faces. That's kind of annoying.
So you got to whip your glasses off.
I got to take them
with
off.
With a flourish before you start making out.
There is, I mean, there is something, there's something a bit fun about that. You know, it's like you're taking off your glasses. It means it's business time. You know, it's like we're going to get down to business.
Yeah.
That's fun. But like, so, you know, it's like if I go to make out with Leah for a bit and then, you know, I pull away, it's like,
and you can't see her anymore. And you're like, I hope that was Leah.
Well, no. But like with the glasses on, you know, you kiss on someone's face. They're like, say she has makeup on her or something. Like if you touch these fucking things, even the slightest.
Yeah.
They get dirty.
Yeah. And then you can see it all day.
Oh my God. I can't handle it.
No.
I can't fucking, I can't handle even the tiniest speck on here. So I'm constantly fucking wiping them and anyway, whatever.
Which is funny because you're not that careful with your, I mean, you always are, you know, pretty careful with your sunglasses until they get like a little tiny scratch in it. And then I feel like you're just like, fuck it. They're scratched. And then they get super scratched because you just put them in a drawer.
No, I just, I get tired of the sunglasses a bit. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Man.
Anyway, got glasses now, feeling good about it, but also a bit annoyed.
And do you feel like your whole wardrobe looks different now that you have glasses? Do you feel that, like, sometimes I feel that when I get a new haircut, I'm like, oh, I'm going to change all my, not necessarily change all my clothes, but everything looks different on me now.
I don't feel that I have to change everything, but I feel like everything looks better.
Yeah.
Like I put a hat on. I went, wow, this hat really goes well with these glasses.
Well, that's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's nice.
You're stepping it up, babe.
I do feel like it has given me a little bit of a confidence boost because I do feel like I look
smarter.
Although, you know what? I got to say this. I don't know if I should say that. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm going to say this and then I will. See if it was not okay later. not too long ago, Leah and I were hanging out, and I was actually on a Patreon call with Sick Boy patrons. Like, we do this weekly hangout or fucking bi-monthly hangout or something. And I don't know how. We were talking about the Henry Cavill. Is that his name?
I don't know who that is.
The guy that plays Superman.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who that is.
Super handsome actor.
A new Superman?
Yeah, he's like the Superman right now. Like, Henry, is it Henry Cavill? Yeah, Henry Cavill.
Okay.
Cavill.
I'm looking him up.
If you Google Henry Cavill and then go to images.
Ooh, hi.
Yeah, very sexy, right? Very sexy indeed. Now, look at Henry Cavill. Google Henry Cavill.
Okay.
Clark Kent.
Okay.
Clark
and
Kent. And those images. See what you got there? He's got glasses on.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, so. Setting this up, right? I'm on this Patreon call, and we're talking about how handsome Henry Cavill is.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, Leah brings her phone over and shows me a photo of her with him.
No.
And his arm around her.
What?
And I'm like, wait, what is this? And she's like, oh, like he approached me at a bar in Toronto, and like we sat and conversed. And I was like, of course, I'm like, Did you sleep with Superman? Like, you know, partly in jest, because I was on a call with a bunch of people and they were now a part of this, but also kind of like, wait, did you actually fuck Superman? And like, I felt like a bit insecure about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, it became a running joke in the house where I'm constantly, oh yeah, well you fucked Superman. So, mm-hmm. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I get the glasses. And yeah. I come home and Leah sees me in the glasses. She's like, oh my God, you look really good in these glasses. I was like, oh, thanks. She's like, you look like Clark Kent. And I was like, fuck's sakes.
Yeah.
Henry fucking Cavill.
Well.
For the record, they didn't have sex.
Okay. But it's a good inside joke to just have that.
I mean, she said they didn't have sex.
Right.
I don't know if I believe her.
Right.
Whatever.
Well, why would she lie when you'd clearly be so totally fine with it? Why would she?
Let's say you had sex with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And
Would
you lie? Would you lie to Todd? Like, would you lie to Todd or a partner to save them the inevitable, just forever irreversible heartbreak that you basically had sex with. I mean, look, everything's subjective, but what I'm going to say, no, to me, Brad Pitt is the older Brad Pitt gets, the fucking hotter he gets. It's insane. I don't get it.
It's true. It's true.
Do you think you would lie about it?
I don't know. It's probably one of those fucking things I would have accidentally let slip early on in the dating process and then regretted it the rest of the relationship.
100%.
However, but I would also like to say that if I did have the forethought to lie, it would not be to save you the inevitable heartbreak. It would be to save me.
The pain in the ass.
For the rest of the relationship.
Yeah.
But oh my goodness, that's a really good question. I often think about, I've been thinking a lot about privacy.
I guess it wouldn't be lying. It would be, because it would be lying if your partner was like, did you fuck Brad Pitt?
Yeah, and I was like.
Because like who the fuck's asking their partner that ever? So if you said no, that would be lying. But if you were like, I know that I fucked Brad, like.
I'm not going to volunteer that information.
Yeah, right, right.
I think, you know what? I'm probably past the point in my life where I would name drop anybody that I have made out with or slept with.
Sure. Right.
There's definitely a time when.
You did it with me once.
Yeah, I know. Stop.
You don't want me to say it.
No, let's not.
I won't say it.
Needless to say.
You know what, though? It did kind of bother me.
I know. I was like, and it was fucking a stupid thing. I was like, who fucking cares? Variety, shut your mouth.
The only reason it bothered me was because of how close to like the friend group.
Right.
Now, I've said too much already. Anyway, we'll let that go. We'll let that slide.
Yeah.
Let's move. I mean, sorry, you have something else you want to say? Move right along.
No, yeah, we can move right along. Right. But I have been thinking a lot about privacy and the disclosure of information and like, when is it okay to lie?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And maybe not lie, because I definitely don't want anyone thinking that I'm out there just like lying. But it was a defense mechanism for me, or not a defense, a coping mechanism for me through a lot of my childhood. I was a bit of a liar.
Right.
There's
definitely something to be said for maintaining. I think everyone deserves privacy, even within a relationship. Like you have the right to have a private life and have private conversations and, you know, those types of things. I think they're really important.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, it's like it's such a fine line, because if you're talking about something where you're like, I know that this would hurt my partner.
Yeah.
If they found out that this one thing happened.
Yeah.
So I'm going to choose to not tell them.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how in some circumstances that would be overall the better thing.
Right.
But I can also see how that's a very slippery slope, because. Why? What is the reason the partner would be hurt because of this thing?
That's true.
And what the fact that this thing happened, what else, what is that leading to?
Yeah.
Is that leading to habits that also would be hurtful for your partner? Because then I think then you're getting into kind of like some muddy waters. And that, like,
what about this scenario?
Sure. Okay.
There's a person in the world, in your like immediate environment, as in they live in the same city as you.
Yep.
And you know that your partner has like some complicated feelings about that person and you.
Sure.
You know, whether you previously dated or
had
you
sex
used to have a crush
or,
with,
yeah, right,
on
sure,
or
sure,
whatever.
Sure. Yep.
And you see that person, you're out by yourself in the world.
Mm-hmm.
In a different time, you're running errands or something.
Yep.
And you see that person at like the grocery store.
Yep.
And you stop and you have like a 30-second conversation or 5-minute conversation. And then you go your separate ways. You finish your grocery shopping. You come home and your partner goes, hey, do you see anyone out there? See anyone you know? What do you say?
Well.
Nope.
I don't know. See, now this is that's interesting that you say no to that, because
I'm not saying no for me, but I'm saying
You're saying, nope, I'm not going to say that I saw anyone because I know that if I say that I saw.
But then do you know what would happen if I said no?
What?
I would spend the rest of the fucking afternoon going, what about the next time I see that person out in the world? What if I'm with my partner and they bring up the fact that we saw each other?
This is
once
the problem
before.
With lying. This is the issue with lying. So hold on. Let me just get this
God,
clear.
I'm
let me get this
stress
clear.
Eating dates, just thinking about this hypothetical situation. It is hypothetical.
Let me get this. Let me get this straight. The hypothetical situation you were referring to is you running into the person that you had some sort of history with.
That
and
my
your partner is feeling not comfortable
kind
with.
Kind of insecure about.
Sure. No, okay. For a second, I thought it was the other way around where it was like your partner's ex. And you just being like, oh, I don't want him to know that I saw his ass.
No.
I get it now. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I would say for sure that's a lie. That's a lie. That is a lie. That is a slippery slope that I don't think is good.
Yeah.
Because I think the healthier and smarter thing to do is to go, I acknowledge that them asking me this is, and me answering it truthfully is for sure going to bring up some sort of tension.
Uh-huh.
But we got to fucking work through that tension.
Uh-huh.
Because this, it's something they need to work through too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Your partner has to fucking realize we live in a small city or, you know, you live wherever and these things happen. You're going to run into these people. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
So you got to work through that. Because the worser case scenario is that they do find out.
And
or,
then you lied.
Or even worse, if your partner says, do you see anybody? And they already know the answer. Also, don't be that fucking person. Because
I am immediately 7 years old and terrified.
Yeah.
The minute that question gets asked.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see anyone?
Yeah.
And I already know probably that question's going to get asked because it's just a regular question in my household.
Sure. So again,
immediately I'm seven and the blood is draining out of my body.
So again, what's the more worst case scenario? Best case scenario, you lie. It's the one time.
Worst case scenario.
It's the one time they never find out. No one gets hurt. Okay, great. But the other side to that is if they do find out, it then increases their insecurities or whatever's going on tenfold. Working back from that is going to take for fucking ever. And it's just going to make everything worse. So if you just go bite the bullet and go, yeah, I did. I saw like Charles and he, you know, I blew him behind the dumpster for a second. It was no big deal. Then it gives them the opportunity to work on the thing that they need to work on because, you know, they're asking from a place of insecurity.
Yeah. Okay.
So no, I don't think it's okay to lie about that.
Okay. Here's the other fucking problem. This is a worst case scenario. All right. Let's just like up the stakes here a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. So whatever, you had a like 30-second conversation with this person. Yes, I saw them. Whatever.
Yeah.
If you don't say anything about it, or let's say you end up having a conversation with this person, or you accidentally run into them as you're strolling through the park, and they walk alongside you for a bit. So other people in the world,
and they don't say anything; they're just walking next to you. That's a problem. That's a problem.
What do I do when Charles follows me?
Yeah, this is
the
a separate problem. This is we're getting into a different territory. No, okay. I get you. Okay, so people in the world see you with Charles.
And you're like strolling through the park. I'm strolling through the park with Charles.
Yep. And he's like, oh, we've been strolling together for about a minute and a half, but I'm going this way and see you later.
And I think, no big deal. Okay, great.
Yeah.
I walk away thinking, oh no, I have a feeling that my partner wouldn't be like so thrilled to know that. I just like saw this person and we hung out or whatever. They don't ask me. My partner doesn't ask me if I saw anyone. But then, you know, a little bit later on in time, you get, hey, when was the last time you saw Charles?
Yeah. Yeah. This is very, very funny that we're having this conversation.
The blood drains from my body. Okay.
Yeah.
Because because now I have to, now I've hesitated. Now I've hesitated and considered lying.
Yeah, this is bad. I mean, look.
If your partner catches you considering lying.
Oh. Always bad. Yeah. Always bad. I know all about that.
Yeah, it's fucking awful.
Yeah, familiar with that. Again, you gotta just tell the truth in that scenario for sure.
And when they say, because, again, why didn't you tell me?
Then it's like, then...
Because
then I think,
yeah, look at yourself yes. in the mirror.
I think that's actually a really good opportunity to go, the reason I didn't tell you is because...
It's your fault.
No. But the reason I didn't tell you is because I knew that it would cause tension.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's nothing to worry about. And look at where we are now. And I probably fucking should... And actually, you probably fucking should have said something from the beginning. Because again, it's that opportunity to go, this is going to create tension. We need to work through this. I'm putting it out there to work through it, not to like hide it.
Yeah. So to become the best thing to do in that case is to go home and say, hey, by the way.
Got something to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hey, how does that make you feel?
You
and
might
let's want
to sit
that.
Down for this.
Yeah.
Let me get you some Kleenex and a tall glass of water. And then I'm going to tell you who I saw in the park.
Charles walked next to me. Say anything to me. Just walked next to me staring at me.
Yes. Yeah.
I think you got to bring that stuff up. I just think it's like, especially if it's because those are, again, those are points of insecurity in a relationship that unless they are brought to the foreground and worked on actively and consciously and, you know, if you don't work on it that way, then it's just going to, it'll either just be persistent and stay in the background, or it'll fester and get worse.
You know, I read a quote that I feel like pertains to this, and I don't know where this quote came from or who said it, and maybe it's really contentious, but I am just going to say it. You can't heal what you don't feel. So that makes me think of like, oh yeah, there's like maybe a desensitization that happens once you've been subjected to that like particular trigger or those negative feelings about that particular person or
100%,
whatever.
Yeah.
I really admire that, but I definitely in those moments am like self-preservation mode. Mm. Like do not tip this canoe over.
Well, and I think that's pretty normal because we just like, I think most of us out there, like, aren't a fan of conflict. And so we just try to avoid conflict wherever we can. But sometimes in trying to do that, we're actually just feeding conflict that just hasn't arisen yet. We're like, we're just building up unresolved conflict and then it's going to eventually spill over. And that's not, I don't think that's ever good.
Huh.
You know,
it's like a controlled burn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. That's good information and a good, you just said something. Oh yeah. About, you know, trying to avoid conflict. Do you remember when we did Landmark and
fuck
he was
that,
like,
man, don't just say that like all willy nilly.
You know, that time we did Landmark.
You know, the time we were in Nexium for a few years.
It's not that bad. And I bet, you know what? Any listeners out there that did Landmark education?
Actually, I should be careful. They've Landmark has sued people for saying
things like
that. And they're not a cult. They're not a cult. Heaven's Gate is a cult.
Right.
Nexium is not a cult. Jesus Christ. Nexium is a fucking cult. Okay. Whoa. Keith Raniere, piece of shit. Huge cult leader. And fuck him. He's doing time. Landmark is not a cult, is what I meant. It's just got some.
Culty.
No. It's just got some clingy vibes.
Yeah. It's got some unusual rules.
It does.
But anyway, we learned some good things there.
We did.
And one of them was, one of the things that I think about a lot is how, like, in conflict or just in life in general, remember that thing that they would say about how, like, we're trying to look good and avoid looking bad? We're trying to win. And we're trying to not lose.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to be right and we're trying not to be wrong.
That's right. Yeah.
And it all like comes and then they basically they were like, and it all boils down to we want to live and we don't want to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we when we encounter conflict and we don't want to encounter conflict, it's really we don't want to die. Mm. Like our nervous system is like, that's what it comes down to, live and die.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really interesting because I learned this new phrase today while I was researching for this episode, and I want to read it to you and ask you if you've come across it, particularly in any of your conversations about COVID. Mortality salience.
No, I'm not familiar with this.
Never heard of that?
No.
Okay. So the context that I read this word in, the mortality salience that hit us all over the past year.
What is that word, salience?
Salience itself means the quality of being particularly noticeable or important, a prominence. Mortality prominence.
Okay.
So Wikipedia says mortality salience is the awareness of individuals that their death is inevitable.
Yep.
The term derives from terror management theory, which proposes that mortality salience causes existential anxiety that may be buffered by an individual's cultural worldview and or sense of self-esteem. But anyway, I thought that was really... mortality salience engages the conflict that humans have to face both their instinct to avoid death completely and their intellectual knowledge that avoiding death is ultimately futile.
Turn Me On Podcast will be back after this short break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right. So I suppose mortality salience is something that I dealt with quite a while ago.
Right.
Yeah. I went through that whole thing in my youth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Interesting. And now in the context of COVID, there's a lot more people sort of have it going through that process because we're in a global pandemic and people are dying.
Yeah.
Dying in the fucking streets in India.
Yeah, so I love this.
All around,
really. I love this term, terror management theory.
Sounds intense.
I know, right?
It says, it's a good band name.
According to terror management theory, when human beings begin to contemplate their mortality and their vulnerability to death, feelings of terror emerge because of the simple fact that humans want to avoid their inevitable death. Mortality salience comes into effect because humans contribute all of their actions to either avoiding death or distracting themselves from the contemplation of it. Mm. Thus, terror management theory asserts that almost all human activity is driven by the fear of death.
Mm. Very interesting.
Right? It's been found that religious individuals, as well as religious fundamentalists, are less vulnerable to mortality salience manipulations.
Because of the idea of eternal life or the afterlife?
Yeah, probably. And they contemplate that more than the average person. Like, I don't know. It says religious fundamentalists and religious individuals. Yeah, I guess that they believe in they have a regular practice of the contemplation of mortality. Like, think about,
it's probably because of the afterlife, you know,
afterlife, reincarnation,
going to heaven, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Maybe that's a good segue into what we what we were learning about yesterday.
This was so fucking neat. So I started following this Instagram account called Morbid Anatomies, and it's basically like a blog group that that have quite a following on social media, and it's all about all things
morbid anatomy, morbid
and all things death, really. And their Instagram page is full of like just really fucking cool sort of like metal morbid art, you know, a lot of art, like ancient historical pieces of art that depict, you know, images of hell and things like this. So anyway, which is right up my alley. Love that stuff. But I saw that they were putting on a workshop, that was all about, Egypt, ancient Egypt. And the workshop was titled, Sex, Death and Rebirth in Ancient Egypt. Was that what it was called?
Great question.
it was basically a 1-hour seminar put on by this woman, Ava, who is an Egyptologist and has studied that time period for, you know, quite a while, and worked with the Met Museum and a bunch of things like that. But it was this really fucking cool seminar about sex and how sex has been and not been depicted throughout that period, ancient Egypt. And I just thought it was a fascinating sort of deep dive into all of that. But what did you think of it? Like, what came up for you that you thought was really interesting?
Well, the reason, one of the things that I thought that really jumped out at me right away was about the afterlife and how they were like, you'll be reunited with your spouse when you die and you'll spend the afterlife together.
Yeah, this was really cool. So sex was a big part of their culture.
Yeah, and in no way taboo.
No, not taboo at all. However, they didn't depict sex in a lot of the historical drawings and I guess you would call them like hieroglyphs.
I guess.
The way that they depicted it in those were very like conservative. So it would be like, you know, they would show two individuals, you know, a male and a female sitting with their legs would be like sort of crossed into each other, like intertwined, but it just looks like they're sitting at a dinner table together.
Right.
And their knees kind of like are like their legs are close enough that their knees are touching.
Right.
And that was like, that's sexy. That's some like sexy time.
Okay.
And so like it would be rare that they would show actual sexual acts explicitly. However, during the time, sex was not taboo at all.
Yeah.
Sex was actually a huge part of the culture. Marriage was a big part of the culture, specifically for the purpose of having children. And the idea of having children was if you want to make it to the afterlife, if you want to make that transition where you will exist in the afterlife, you need to have children because they are the only ones that can prep you and send you they play a key role in sending you off to the afterlife.
Oh, I must have missed that part.
It was early on.
Right.
So that was a really interesting thing. And then they started talking about King Tut, and in the process of mummification, they would focus, one of the things they would focus on was like bulking up the dick, like
to
the
make
phallus,
it erect.
To make it erect. So they would, in the mummification process, they would like basically like mold out and like beef up the dick so that it is fully engorged when they go to mummify the person in their tomb, so that when they get to the afterlife, they've got something to work with.
Yeah.
And they'll be virile and ready to go, which I thought was fucking super interesting.
And some of the things that the instructor or the facilitator was talking about that was depicted in the drawings leads researchers or historians to believe that there was maybe a ritual in the tomb when they were burying, putting this soul to rest, where they may or may not have had sex with the body.
She seemed pretty clear that it was like they basically have come to the conclusion that there was like a necrophilic ritual
that was based on a reenactment of a myth.
That's right.
That would take place during the rite of passage.
That's right.
After you died.
Yeah. So the way she kind of worded it, and I think this is what she was getting at, was that there are these this still exists in cultures today. Like there were professional mourners that would be a part of like the funeral procession, right? So it's like a group of women that
are
wailing and moaning, and like that's a part of the funerary ritual. Still exists today. There was also this funerary ritual where there were like these women that would go into the tomb and do this ritual where one of them or all of them would like take turns fucking the corpse in order to help them transition into the afterlife, which is super. Man, it just made me think of like, it would be so fascinating to be able to go into a time machine in this little bubble and just observe life at that time.
In all of the drawings too, like beauty and adornment and like the clothing, the jewelry, like it looks like it was a very sensual time.
Yeah, for sure. There was also a bunch of really interesting stuff about gender and like how there was like gender neutrality was sort of a big part of the culture. It seemed like there was a an example would be like they accepted gender fluidity pretty it was pretty common. And one example she was using was there was a woman who became king, and so when she would present herself in the public, she would have a fake images of like a fake beard, fake facial hair, covering up any sort of like body parts that would like accentuate or reveal her femininity. But then in privacy, the depictions of her outside of the public eye were very feminine, very showing the breasts, showing the curvature of her body, and like long hair, those sorts of things, which I just thought was really fucking cool.
I think that was neat too.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool that they found evidence of both abortive medicine and birth control.
Oh my God, the birth control was fucking crazy. They were ramming crocodile
poop up
shit
their vaginas.
Up in their hoo-ha.
Yeah. Which is especially if it's like you need to have kids to get into the afterlife. But you want those kids to be within a marriage.
Mm.
So it seems like she was saying it seems like virginity was like not even a thing.
They didn't even have a word for it.
Word for it.
No.
Right, exactly. So yeah. Sex before marriage was very common.
Yeah. Yeah. Adultery was a thing. She went into like how adultery played into the culture.
Yeah. Adultery was not okay.
No.
I remember. But also you were just married if you just said you were married.
Yeah. That's right.
And you were divorced. If you just said you were divorced,
there was, I wish I had a moment to take a picture but there was like, there were poems,
mm-hmm.
love poems, and they were incredible. They're going to email it to us. I'll see if I can catch one and read it on next week's episode. But, some of the words that they had or phrases that they had for sex were really funny. Like, entering the house was
like some of the innuendo.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really like their innuendo and they really like their puns,
yeah.
Which appeals to me.
It was really fun. And so I mean, I highly suggest, checking them out. Morbid Anatomies on Instagram. And they've got a really cool website and they've got merch and they're doing fucking workshops and seminars all the fucking time. They do a weekly death meditation.
That's cool.
Sounds cool.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, I was really, I fucking loved it. It was really
good
fun.
Find. Thanks for inviting me. I liked doing that a lot. And it's funny because there's so many online offerings these days. I just like there it makes are. My head spin.
Yeah.
But that was a good one.
It was a fun one. Found it. Hey, do you want me to? Can I read you a quick brain boner?
Oh yeah.
I'm really curious to see what your thoughts are going to be on this. this came in from, I'm just going to say Steffi. The subject of this brain boner is help my son not be a stinky.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Hi, Jeremy and Bridie. I hope you have some understanding for this situation, as I know that both of you really like to be clean. Jeremy showers a lot, and Bridie likes to clean her butthole with a finger.
Wow. It's been a long time since I talked about that.
Steffi's a listener. Steffi's an OG listener. Yeah. I am divorced and share custody of our preteen son with my ex-husband. My ex-husband was never a person who paid a lot of attention to personal hygiene, which drove me crazy. He started out all right, but eventually stopped showering daily and rarely used deodorant. It got to a point at which I was frankly disgusted as I could smell him from a few feet away. Anyway, I swore to myself to raise my son as a young man who is clean and smells good. When he stays with me, he showers daily, puts on fresh clothes, uses deodorant, etc. When he is with his father, he doesn't shower, wash his hair, or use deodorant. He looks and smells bad. I tried addressing this with the father, but because he doesn't even think it's important to wash himself, he sure won't encourage the kid to do so. What can I do? I don't want my son to grow up to be a stinky. Love your show. Take care, you guys.
This is funny. I was walking with our mutual friend, Aaron Morris.
My high school drama teacher.
Yeah, that's right. And she has a son who is a preteen.
Yep.
And she was saying that
those fuckers stink, man. That like they give off a real like. There's a difference between the body odor that I create,
yeah.
Now as a grown male who wears glasses and looks pretty good in them, and a preteen boy.
Yeah. Well, Erin was saying that she had to. She's a school teacher.
Yeah.
And she had to like write into her boss or whatever and be like, "I need an extra half an hour in the mornings for the next month or so."
Because he's a stinky?
Because he didn't want to wear deodorant. And she said, and she needed the extra time in the morning to talk him into putting it on.
What's up with kids not wanting to wear deodorant? I think
it's avoidance of growing up. It's avoidance of death.
Yeah, right.
But it's avoidance of growing up.
That's so interesting because I mean, I don't actually recall, but if I was to have a guess, I would say that by the time I needed to wear deodorant, I think I was like, oh yeah, I get to wear deodorant now. It's like,
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure it was different for
because
there definitely were some of us that embraced those like,
I got like, my period.
Or I got my bra, my first bra, of that stuff. Yeah. But for, I think particularly probably more of, I don't know. I was going to say more boys, but.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some like granola hippie fucks out there that listen to the show and we love you.
Yeah.
We love you. And you heard that email and you thought, you don't
let them stink.
Let them stink. The stinks.
Well, you know what Aaron said?
What?
That she does. She also had a talk with him about, basically how she's like, kids are mean.
Oh yeah.
And if you get pegged as the stinky kid, you will be the stinky kid for the rest of your time in school.
That's the thing. So what I was going to say was, you granola hippie freaks out there who don't like to wash and don't wear deodorant.
I don't wear deodorant. I know you don't. Steffi, get it. I'm not that clean.
You aren't. But you are a dirty motherfucker.
I'll tell you what I do. I give myself face cloth baths every day.
Okay. So what I was going to say was that
I smell great.
For the granola freaks out there who don't wash and don't wash their hair and don't put on deodorant and all those kinds of things.
And don't wear matching socks.
As an adult, you can get away with that. Maybe not in Steffi's household. Especially if your partner's like, fucking wash yourself, like I'm gross. But if that's your social circle and you are like, you know, if that's like the, that's going like, if that's your bubble, to fucking hell yeah. Don't wash, like do that whole thing. But man, as a little young guy like this, mm-hmm. at this point in time, I think Aaron's right. It's like at this point in time, you want to play the peer card. You want to at least get a handle on your own personal hygiene so you know how to take care of it yourself as you grow into an adult. And then when you're an adult, if you want to make those decisions to not be super like on top of your hygiene, go for it. You can kind of get away with it a little bit easier, I think. But in junior high and shit, man, if you're the fucking stinky kid, that
you got to make it a habit.
It's going to be the worst.
I would say, Steffi, your best bet is making it a habit. So when your kid's with you, build it into the routine so that it's like first thing off the day jump in the shower. Well,
but this is the thing.
She says she's making it happen, but I feel like it needs to, for him, it needs to be something he doesn't even think about doing
because it's
such a part of the routine.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that is kind of important because if you don't, then that's how people grow into adults and go, I never really had the habit of like brushing my fucking teeth.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get nasty teeth.
I mean, the other thing too, I mean, yeah, I'd say your kid's too young to try to play the like, well, when you're older, you know, you want to have healthy whatever, like skin or mouth or healthy hair. Like they're too little to invest in that future, I think, and probably too young to be like, oh, the person I'm going to be attracted to, I want them to think I smell nice. But literally, like, the wrath of other, of their peers is
going to come down on
I feel like maybe brutal. Maybe the card to play.
The other thing, too, is like, dude, I have no idea. I don't have a fucking kid. And so, really, take this as a grain of salt. But maybe the play is to go, all right, let's make a compromise here. When you're with your dad, when you're with me, you do what I say. Or no, how about this? I got this. All right.
Okay.
When you're with me, you got to wash your armpits. You got to put on deodorant. I'm doing this for you. I'm saving you. You got to brush your teeth because like it's not fucking worth the money that you're going to have to pay when you get cavities and shit. So just do that anyway. Little psychopath. But if you don't want to wash your hair, don't. And when you're with your father, do all those other things. But like your dad, don't wash your hair. That's cool.
Okay.
Because here's the cool thing about not washing your hair. The best hair I ever had in my life was when I had it at a very certain length and I didn't wash it for like 6 fucking months.
Yeah.
I would rinse it in the shower, but I would never put shampoo in it, would never get soap in it. And it had this wonderful, like, natural product effect.
Yeah.
Where it's like beach hair all the fucking time. My hair didn't stink. I didn't have problems with that.
No,
if I did,
it will.
I'd put, like,
there's a 2 week period.
Yeah.
If you can get past that, so your, like, hair will do wonderful things.
I think what you do there is, like, you're
pick your battles.
You're appealing to his want. I don't know if it's his want. Like, if he wants to be with, like, his dad, I don't really know what the fucking thing
also,
is.
Also, I feel.
But you're appealing to his, like, desire to not want to fucking do this shit.
Right.
To some degree.
Yeah.
Yet. Going, here are the basics. Like, you know what you should say? You should say, hey, Timmy, or whatever the fuck your son's name is. While you're at it, stop wiping your ass. You know, talk to him like that. Be like, why? Well, stop wiping your ass. And also, piss your pants. Big baby. Have a shitty bum bum and a piss pants boy. Why don't you try that? And just, and then like, knock that into him and see if, and just see, because then if he stops wiping his ass, it's gonna just itch, right? And he'll be so annoyed.
I can't go down this rabbit hole.
Okay. Right.
We should not encourage anyone to not wipe their ass, even to make a point. I also think I don't know. I'm not a child psychologist, but I would avoid.
Hit him. You can still spank kids, right? Just give them a good spanking.
But is there an okay place to hit a kid? Not their butts, not their faces, but, like, what? Can you
strap them? Strap them on the hand. Yeah,
the
old strap
the
to the palm. That works.
No, you might. I would say you might want to avoid hitching your cause or your argument in any way to his dad. Because I don't know if you, like, I know teenagers are, like, they want to rebel and maybe he's not there. But I think in, like, giving it any sort of negative connotation that's associated with his other parent, who he also has, like, an allegiance to, you know, it might not be the winning card.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know. I hope you got something in there, some glimmer of. I think getting him to not wipe is probably the route to go. But not
like I left your dad because he didn't wear deodorant. You know.
Oh man, don't do that. Don't do that at all. That's no.
Okay, thanks.
Not yet.
Thanks for agreeing with me. Did you pull up something else there that you're going to talk about?
I mean, I don't know. Do you want to just hit one more thing here?
Let's do it.
You sent me an article about, like, I just thought this was interesting, and I think this speaks more to vulva owners because
like, and penis owners. No.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because this is more about the control that the vulva owner has.
Yeah. Why don't you read through it?
Okay. Science just found the four best penetration techniques for female pleasure.
Yeah. So there we go. It's for vulva owners.
But the penis owner should definitely, it's in Men's Health.
Yes. No. Sorry.
Okay.
Let me reiterate. This is good information for people with penises for sure. But what I meant was it doesn't, you put a penis in anything warm and wet.
Right.
You're good. It's good.
Right.
Like, you know, it really doesn't take much to please a phallus.
Right.
So what I was saying was, like, this is for vulva owners to get the most out of penetrative sex.
Yes.
And important for the penis owner to know what they're doing.
Yes.
But
because the
it's not going to change anything for the penis owner.
It's, well, hopefully it does change something for the penis owner, because if the penis owner is, like, has one move and it's thrusting or thrusting really quickly.
Yeah, that's,
then they're going to be frustrated, hopefully, that their partner isn't coming.
That's right. Yeah, and Steffi, you should also talk to your son about this. Get your son on board with this stuff.
Also, get your son on board with Carrie Isham's sex ed for kids, because guaranteed they talk about hygiene in her curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie. So the four best penetration techniques are.
I thought this was really interesting when I went through this article, because these are things that I've been doing
naturally.
Over the last little bit, and I'm like, oh yeah, it does seem to work like this.
Yeah, angling. I'll break these down once we get through the list.
Angling,
mm-hmm. Rocking, mm-hmm. Shallowing, and pairing.
Okay.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is researchers from the Indiana University School of Medicine and OMGS.
Which we've talked about on the show in the past.
Mm-hmm. They've conducted the first ever large-scale, nationally representative study focused on techniques people with a vulva can use for increasing their pleasure during vaginal penetration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Angling.
Angling.
Angling involves rotating, raising or lowering the pelvis or hips/hips during penetration to adjust where inside the vagina the toy or the penis rubs. So more specifically, 84% of the women reported that angling their hips high or upward, imagine like putting a pillow under your hips in missionary, that they reported increased pleasure, and 68% said that angling their hips downward increased pleasure.
Do you angle?
I angle upward.
You angle pelvis up.
Yeah.
Pillow under butt.
If we're talking missionary, although. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think most of the time I'm aiming the thing toward the front wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the clip, behind the pubic bone.
Yeah.
angles are everything when it comes to sex, which is why it's recommended to. I love this sentence. It's also why you need to try various positions to see which one allows your penis to hit your partner's vagina at just the right angle.
That's right.
Hit it. Okay. Rocking.
So we got angling out of the way. Then angling. There's rocking.
Okay. Roughly 3/4 of the women said they made penetration more pleasurable by rocking the base of a penis or sex toy so it rubs against their clitoris constantly during penetration,
mm-hmm.
staying all the way inside the vagina rather than thrusting in and out.
Yeah, that is that's one that I'm pretty familiar with right now.
Yeah,
that works well with my partner now.
That works well for my body as well.
Yeah.
A prime position that enables an organic rocking motion is the lotus, where your partner wraps their legs around you. So the vulva owner wraps their legs around their partner and gets right on top, gets that penis or toy all the way in there.
And doing rocking back and forth.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Okay, that's rocking. Now we have shallowing.
Shallowing. 84% of women orgasm more often to increase their pleasure through shallowing.
I thought this number kind of blew my mind. 84%.
Yeah. It defined as penetrative touch just inside the entrance of the vagina with a fingertip, sex toy, penis, tip, tongue, penis tip, tongue, or lips. When broken down, shallowing with a tongue or lips was the most pleasurable. Mm. And then the penis tip, and then the fingertip, and then sex toy. Pardon me.
Press that fucking cough mute button, you
Oops.
Fucking...
Oops. Sorry, Mr. Mandel.
God damn it.
Okay, this goes to show that depth isn't the end-all be-all of sex and pleasure. So that is definitely true for me.
Yeah.
Pairing, last one.
So this is using a paring knife.
70% of women found it pleasurable when either they or their partner paired penetration with clitoral stimulation.
Right.
So both things happening at once.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
I find this one hard for myself.
For your body?
Maybe I just haven't found the angle at which it's like, it's doable. Like, so, okay, for example, like if I'm in the like classic doggy style position,
mm-hmm.
and then trying to reach around to stimulate the clitoris with my hand.
Yeah.
It's like like my other hand, I've got a brace somewhere.
Yeah.
And I just think the way my, I just think the setup of like my, like, you know.
The back of their head.
Yeah, I know. That doesn't work. So like, you know, the wall's too far away. It's yeah. it's too awkward down on the bed. Like, I don't think I have long enough arms for it.
Yeah.
And then.
But if you had a long, if you had a wand or a like.
So that's what I've been doing.
Okay.
Got La Wand. No pleasure. Basically it's a Hitachi, but prettier. And it works really well with that.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier. It is much easier using that. I mean, in any position. I find it even hard just using my hand, like even in like missionary or
girl on top
or just like or on top. It yeah. like use it, but the wand you've got much more. I guess it's, I don't know if it's just the extension. You know, if it's just that like few,
yeah,
5-6 inches of extension from your hand that yeah. makes it easier. But yeah.
Yeah, totally. I feel like, honestly, it's tricky to multitask.
Yeah.
So I don't mind. Sometimes I'll do the clit stim man like myself with penetration happening, but I don't know. I don't know if I like it both at once because there's just too many rhythms to like coordinate.
Yeah.
You know, for that.
Visually, I find that very fun.
Yeah. Visually, yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
It's cool.
That's
it's
cool.
So cool.
That's cool.
yeah, no, those are good things to have in your pocket because especially like the shallowing, like the shallow penetration,
mm-hmm.
I think is totally underrated.
Totally,
For probably, like, I don't know. I haven't had many sexual partners who have just like done that by
choice.
Part of the practice.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And usually I would control it by being on top.
Yeah.
I can control the depth. Like I said, pairing, I'm not great. Rocking is like so natural.
Key. Yeah.
And what was the first one? Angling. Yeah. And that one probably like.
Which I feel like that one is very much intuition based. You know, it's like you kind of got to just follow your intuition on that.
It out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also probably it could be.
And then once you've followed, your intuition, communicate that.
Yeah.
To the person who.
You're like, oh, I have found that.
Because it's not my intuition.
Yeah, no, it's the vulva owner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like find that intuition and then say
communicate it.
The last thing they said in that article, at the end of the day, the research expands upon what women have been telling men since the dawn of sex. 1, find the right angles. 2, don't focus on thrusting. 3, don't focus solely on depth. And 4, don't ignore the clitoris during sex. So those are all things that, you know, find those like those 4 things that work for you and then communicate that with your partner and off to the races.
Mm-hmm.
Putting wet floor signs down all over the apartment.
Wet floor signs?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's also like this is another one of those articles that's like really good icebreaker for conversation with your partner.
Yeah, totally.
About what you like.
Yeah.
Hopefully
yeah.
Some of you are already having that conversation right now.
Well, this was fun. Thanks for tuning in with us on this host episode. We hope you are safe and, you know, keeping the COVID at bay. Wash your hands, wear your mask, get your vaccine when you can. Listen to your public health officials. Don't be a fucking idiot.
We're going to do this. We're going to get through this together.
Yep. And we'll be back to making out with strangers in the near future. And
although some of you are less likely to want to, and maybe we'll talk about that next week.
Yes. Very interesting stuff coming out of some studies that were being shared with the Kinsey Institute and our friend Justin Lay Miller on his podcast, which we will talk about next week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you all. We love our patrons more than anyone else. And if you wanted to watch this entire episode to see what Bridie and I look like when we talk to each other, which
and
might
Jeremy's new glasses.
Yeah, which might
and my healing spotty leg
might break your brain a bit if you don't know what we look like and you've just been listening all this time. might just throw you off. You might be like, this is what they fucking look like.
I think there's something about the contrast of the screen that makes my nose look really red. But if you're watching this at home and my nose looks really red, you know, don't worry. I'm
Patreon.com/turnmeon. And if you want to reach out to us and let us know how stinky your son is, you can send us an email, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to our website. There's a contact us form there. You can fill that fucker out.
We love you. Thank you so much for listening. And that's it for this week.
Until next week,
go touch yourself.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.